Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Kevin McAleenan, Deputy Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining my conversation from IBM is Don Finhagen.
So to promote organizational efficiencies, last fall the CBP Commissioner announced realignment of the agency's headquarters structure to better support our personnel in fulfilling CBP's critical mission. How has this reorg helped transform CBP? What do you see the benefits from this reorganization, and what challenges are you working to address?
I think our realignment presents a great opportunity to become more efficient and effective across our organizational management. Students of organizational management might be shocked to learn that before this realignment became effective on June 15th of this year, the deputy commissioner and the commissioner together shared about 22 direct reports. A very broad span of control to include components with 28,000 people down to components with 10, all performing different responsibilities within CBP. And what that does is it creates a situation where there's a dilution of management focus and time where our leaders aren't getting the feedback and support that they necessarily needed or deserved, and where the span of control was simply not fully manageable. So we had to address that. That was a fundamental principle. But just reorganizing the chart and making it not 22 but 6 direct reports now to the deputy commissioner, wasn't going to achieve organizational benefits alone. So the second key principle of the realignment was really recognizing what we do and how we all need to align to support it. And those are the four operating components: the U.S. Border Patrol, the Office of Field Operations, Air and Marine, and the Office of International Trade. They were all assistant commissioners on the same par with 10 other peers at the time. But really, we took a page from the FBI or Immigration Customs Enforcement. We have a concept of executive assistant directors, in our case, assistant commissioners. And so we've made it clear that those four are our responsibility. That's what we're all doing. They oversee the men and women in the field that are interacting with travel and travelers and the trade community that are interacting with folks crossing our border illegally. They're the ones we exist to support. So we aligned two other functions. We took our intelligence, our international affairs, our diplomatic arm, and the operational reporting, the operational requirements development, modeling and simulation, all the things that are really operationally focused that support those four main operators, and brought them together in an Office of Operations Support, led by an executive assistant commissioner. And I'm very excited for the potential for this group to provide added value to our operators across those functions. And we put a very senior leader in charge, former deputy chief of the Border Patrol, Ron Vitello, is going to lead that section. We then organized what we're calling our enterprise services, all of the mission support functions, from the chief financial officer to the chief information officer, chief human capital officer, chief training officer, and of course, the chief acquisition executive. We wanted one organizing executive to be responsible for providing integrated business solutions to the operational elements. So that if our Office of Border Patrol has a complex need for a new technology and the training to go along with it, they have one integrated place to go to get a comprehensive solution. They don't have to say, okay, you're going to buy me the technology, and okay, I'll go over here to train it. Oh, and by the way, I have to ask for the money from a third place. It's a single enterprise services component that comes to work every day with the sole focus of doing what those four operators need. And so I think... if we get this right, and it's early, and we've created some governance mechanisms to deepen that integration, because it's one thing to structure it, it's another thing to make sure they're talking and working for one another the way we expect. But I think it's going to increase our leadership time to manage our core priorities. It's going to integrate services that are needed by the operators, and it's going to provide better intelligence, international engagement, to our operational entities in a more integrated fashion. So I'm excited about it. I think it's pragmatic. It's not one of those changes that's so dramatic. We didn't put everybody in the same uniform or break down every organizational chain of command we had. We built on our strengths, and we try to enhance them.
Well, you know, it's a great transition, building on your strengths and trying to enhance them. Regarding your hiring of frontline personnel, I mean, they're the strength, really, in there. Would you tell us more about your efforts to address some frontline challenges? But more importantly, Kevin, what are you doing to make the hiring process more efficient, more effective, and ensure that CBP is attracting the right talent?
Well, I think most fundamentally, we had to make it faster. if you're asking someone to consider a career with you, and it takes an average of over a year, 400 plus days to get an offer, you're going to lose your highest potential candidates. So that was our first commitment in the process. Our second commitment is we couldn't lower our standards. The role at the border is one that requires such high capability and such high integrity that we needed to maintain our standards. We also, very importantly, by law and by choice, we have a polygraph requirement for our frontline law enforcement officers. So one of the challenges we faced is that there simply are not enough human beings who are federally certified polygraphers to maintain a 45,000 person workforce and increase hiring at the same time. So we've had to generate and train some new polygraphers to just keep up with that load. So that's been a fundamental effort. Secondly, we have these important steps in the process, and they were all done sequentially, and we would have a time gap between each step. So what we've done is move toward a concept of hiring hubs, borrowing from the private sector. And instead of sequentially managing the testing and the interview and the polygraph, we try to bring five or six steps together in a concerted 2 or 3 day process and get as many people through the pipeline as we can. And then we're much more responsive on the timeline. Our hiring time to hire has gone from over 400 days to 169. Which is much more consistent with a person's expectation of taking on a new career, and they can apply, you know, as they're you know, leaving a previous job or as they're coming out of an educational institution. We have a lot of folks that have you know, college and advanced degrees interested in a career at CBP, and we're also looking at working with Congress on creating incentives to some of the remote and challenging areas that we need people to come. The communities there aren't large enough to support the enforcement presence we need, so we need to draw from around this great country and incentivize and get them interested in spending a few years in interesting parts of our country and helping secure our border. So really trying to incentivize some of those hard to fill locations. Without diminishing our commitment to that integrity, we're really trying to engineer a process that's much more responsive, much more efficient. Simple things like communicating via text, as people tend to do. Exactly. Sending them email updates as opposed to nobody's going to wait 6 months for a letter. So we've been able to take those steps into the modern era as well, and our Chief Human Capital Officer, Linda Jackson, is, I think, doing a tremendous job in pushing this forward. But we're really, I think we're going to have to take a much more aggressive approach on recruiting, make it a not just a collateral duty, but a fundamental responsibility of our uniform components and our mission support components to get out there in the community to talk about the excitement of these jobs. I was talking with the executive director of the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, and he was saying, "You got to be kidding me! We got people who great, talented graduates of colleges and universities in major cities that are just dying for jobs. Let me help you find them." And so we're doing a lot of outreach to organizations that have that reach across our country, where there are diverse and engaged populations ready to be part of a mission as compelling as CBP. So we're going to go find them with a revamped recruiting process that feeds that improved hiring process in an effective way.
So what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
I don't think there's a more compelling mission in law enforcement than securing U.S. borders. And I don't think there's a more interesting time or place to do it. You know, people coming into a CBP career can chart their own path. They can work in 45 countries around the world. They can work in headquarters with cutting edge data analytics. They can work in the intelligence profession. They can ride a horse or an ATV on our border. We have such tremendous opportunity. We have one of the best law firms, I think, in government in our chief counsel's office. We have a tremendous group of people doing great work. And they get to go home every day knowing they did something that matters. And I think that's maybe the most compelling reason to consider CBP. So I'd encourage them to look at CBP or the Department of Homeland Security more broadly as a great career path to develop them as professionals and to be very rewarding in the process.
Well, Kevin, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us today. But more importantly, Don and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country. It's great to have you back. And folks have to understand, if with a leader like you, they might want to join up soon.
Thanks so much. Great to be here with you. Thanks for the time.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Kevin McAleenan, Deputy Commissioner of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. My co-host from IBM has been Don Finhagen. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.